Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
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 What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 354. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside my Italian meatball, Brian Altano.
Hi, Greg.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not bad.
Thanks for filling in for Colin.
Of course.
Colin says his regards, everybody. He's unfortunately reviewing a JRPG, which means he has to stay sequestered at home.
For years.
For years, just to make sure he gets through all of it and sees Drippy Nose and everybody else in these gosh darn games.
Yep. He's got to get all the right swords and the magical warp.
You got to get the right runes.
Yep.
A big part of that.
Get all the spells and the summons.
You got to capture everybody. Find the secret entrance to the dungeon.
All the dragons.
Yeah.
And then Lord, the twins die.
Exactly. And if you run into the princess too early, boy help
That's
you.
It. Nope.
Jeez
Just
Louise.
Just start from scratch.
Yeah.
Go back to Japan. Do not collect $200.
And then there's a bunch of stuff that's a little questionable sexually. Because, of course, it's JRPG.
Is it a guy or a wolf? Nobody knows.
Man, that seemed really homophobic. How do you get away saying that? That's
I
not
think
cool.
The tree has boobs.
That's not cool. And then in the ever-rotating third chair, making a rare appearance in person, the one and only M-Dog, Mitchell Morgan.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for coming.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Everyone knows Mitchell Morgan. We trust him implicitly. If you didn't, for some reason, he is the man who made the Podcast Beyond soundboard app.
I did that.
He made the Bet Tracker app.
Yes.
That we refuse to use. We still just shout at you to remember all the bets. And you love it.
Yeah,
we tell you to drop out of school all the time and just track our bets.
Yep.
Don't do that. Stay in school.
Well, he's not listening. He's still very much in school.
For now.
For now. Yeah, yeah. What grade are you in?
I am going in sophomore year of high school.
Oh, high school.
High school.
That was no fun. Are you having fun?
Yeah.
Do the people there know that you're a big deal on Podcast Beyond?
I've heard stories of people who like go up to my friends and like, hey, you know that Mitchell Morgan, right? Like, yeah. He's like, how does he have so many Twitter followers?
I don't know.
Pimp it right now. What is it again?
It is at mdawg2438, M-D-A-W-G.
All right, great. Everybody's got to follow you. You do too much for us. Thank you.
When did you start listening to the show?
I think it was 4 years ago.
So like episode one?
No, it was like
we've been on 7 years.
Really?
Yeah.
It was like the episode where after Roper left, I think.
Finally, that guy's gone.
It was like right when the Greg Miller, Ryan Clements, Colin Moriarty
era began. Oh, wow. You got on at a good time. I always talk about that. Well, 150. 150 was definitely our coming out party, right? Of like, mm-hmm. Roper left the podcast, and he left it like 118, I'll say. Teens to 20s, right?
Right.
And then we had that time of like feeling it out where I'd never hosted the podcast or anything like that. And then we had brought in Colin, who had kind of been like a guest star for a while, mm-hmm. and then like feeling out the flow and like, 150 is where we were like, here's who we are. This is our logo. It's the first time we ever debuted the logo.
Oh, really?
I surprised Colin and Ryan with shirts with the logo on it. Like, here's a fun thing we'll never sell.
Wait a minute. So you guys didn't? We went from not having a logo to having branding on shirts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You like
that's
that?
That's great.
That's how the Greg Miller mindset works.
Oh man, that's the machine.
We're a real thing now, like it or not. Here's all this crap for you. You know what I mean?
That's what Gordon Bombay did in The Mighty Ducks.
Right.
Basically, he was just quack, like quack. That movie was probably before your time.
A little bit.
Have you not watched Mighty Ducks?
He's more of a Mighty Ducks 3 guy.
Yeah.
You've gone back and watched Mighty Ducks, haven't you, Mitchell?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever seen a sports movie where a bunch of kind of rotund, down-and-out kids who aren't very good turn around to win the championship?
No.
Really?
That's every sports movie, Mitchell Morgan. Okay.
I haven't seen one with hockey and ducks, but
okay, yeah, that way we've limited. Right,
we're narrowing it down now. We're getting closer and closer to the real thing here. Hold on. Keep talking. You're vamping.
You got a text from Gordon Bombay.
No, I always forget to put the lock screen on. Because then I can see it when we curse. Because we inevitably are going to screw up or off the weave something.
Curse?
No.
Okay.
But I know it's going to happen eventually. It's also so that when we do the breakout segments, I know where to go.
There's a young man here. I'm not going to curse.
And his father's right there,
and
too.
And his father's here, too.
He's a star. He was on Podcast Beyond 300.
Really?
He was.
Yeah, he has a million Twitter followers now. Oh, more man. Than his son. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, Podcast Beyond is IGN's PlayStation podcast. It's the number one PlayStation podcast in the world. A super... thank you to all of you. In the month of July, Podcast Beyond was downloaded for the first time in 1 month more than 1 million times.
What? Is that real?
That's a real number. That's a real stat. We have been hovering around 725 for a long time.
What happened?
And then we flipped over. Good shows, good headlines, I imagine. I think I don't even know. More people are sharing us, which is more important if you didn't know.
Yeah.
Also, iTunes reviews, all that junk.
Nice.
We're out there being a contender.
I think I was on an episode that month.
You're obviously the most requested editor to be on here, so don't worry about it. Remember, we post an MP3 every Tuesday on IGN.com, iTunes, your favorite podcast service. And then every Wednesday we go up as a video on IGN.com, YouTube.com/IGN, and the IGN PlayStation 4 app, which, Brian,
yes,
is 100% free.
It is.
Wow.
How do we just give apps away like that?
I know.
That's crazy.
And it's the app, when you go to the PlayStation store to buy it, the logo for it is me hugging Colin and pointing at the sky and screaming.
It still trips me out when I'm on my PS4 and I'm going through the different apps and I see the IGN app, app and that's you two guys. And I'm like, that I know them. That's
thank
really
God no
weird.
One else is making apps and that has to stay up.
Yeah, because the thing is, I know you guys and it makes sense to me, but out of context, I'd be like, what? What game is this?
I know, right? Well, it's like when
is this
you
brothers.
When you boil it down, really, like what could you put in an IGN ad on the PlayStation Network banner that isn't like just making it look like it's a video game, right?
I know,
like,
I know, yeah.
We're two idiots who talk about video games, so come.
I mean,
check
yeah,
us out.
Nailed it. So yeah. It makes perfect sense once you get it. But at first, you're like, I don't understand.
Now, Mitchell.
Yes.
You like this show?
I do like this show.
I imagine it's because of our harebrained schemes and idiocy.
Of course.
I need everybody's help, listening and or watching. Stick with me.
Okay, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
You remember at E3,
yeah,
we'd leave the convention center, and they had that painting they were doing of the PlayStation mascots on the boat crossing the Delaware.
The greatness painting.
Right,
yes.
Greatness awaits.
Yes,
right,
yes,
right,
yes.
Right. And they had the guy in the middle of it that was just supposed to be every gamer.
Right.
PlayStation started this campaign. Are you aware of it?
Yes, I am.
I was not. I stumbled into it watching Twitch videos this weekend. I was like, oh. And basically, you go to this website, Brian.
Yeah.
And you get to choose your background. You choose who's on the boats, and then you get to upload your own face to be in the middle of the boat and make your little graphic, your own painting starring you.
Just your face?
Yeah, just your face. So it looks terrible.
Okay. I feel like a lot of people are going in a bad direction with that.
Probably, but the mods are, I imagine, stopping it. It doesn't matter. But here's the thing. So
the
I make
boat with butt face.
I go and I make myself, and I put Ellie on the boat, and I have all these fun things. I'm like, this is great, and Grim Fandango's rowing the boat. I'm like, ah, neato.
That's awesome.
And as I start to export it, one of my roommates is like, so that's cool. Like, you know, what are you going to do if you win? And I was like, it's a contest? Like, what do you mean? If you win this competition, Brian, they are forced to print out your painting, your giant painting, and send it to you.
Oh, vote for Buttface.
And no, vote for Greg is what we're saying here. And you win a PlayStation 4.
You have like 8 of those.
Thank you for being the negative Nelly, because this is what I did. Over the weekend, I shot it out. Everybody vote for me. Here's what we're doing. When I win, again, over 1 million downloads in the month of July.
Yeah, you're
everybody
you're
gets off
in the
their
lead.
Duff and goes to this bit.ly. It's bit.ly/beyondpainting, all lowercase.
Okay.
You vote for me. When I win, I give the PlayStation 4 to a Beyond listener and or viewer. See, this is what I'm doing.
Think of it right now.
Because I thought this through for a while. And once I found out it was a competition, and then once I started, you know, soliciting myself for votes,
yep.
I was like, I am going to push someone out of the running, right? That could have won this on their own. However, I'm not pushing you out of the running. Chances are you, listener, were not in the top 20, top 10, whatever, to get to this, right? Because it needs a lot of votes. You need to get propelled out there.
Actually, technically, what you did was you made it easier for a Beyond listener to win a PS4.
Yes.
You narrowed the numbers for
thank
them.
You.
So if you just enter that contest on your own without any of the show's
You are in this big circle of PlayStation
fans. You and millions
of
people, including Buttface and Ballhead. A lot of guys are there. You got to beat them all. It's tough.
Right. So, you're in this giant thing. Now we've
but
narrowed
Craig,
the pool
you narrowed it down.
Just to IGN fans, Beyond listeners. So this is the thing. I'm playing for you. And I thought for a while, I was like, you know what? Maybe Mitchell, I'll announce that I'm playing for someone, right? Like Bobby out there. Bobby, a good friend of ours, doesn't have PlayStation 4. And I was like, my best friend back home, he doesn't have a PlayStation 4. But then I was like, no, this isn't fair. I need to narrow it down to our pool of fans.
Yeah.
So once we win this thing, we give it away. So here's how confident I am that I'm going to win. I'm going to give you the rules on how to win the PlayStation 4 right now from me. So I still have to win that competition, but here's how you win our competition.
Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Podcast Beyond exists because we're all friends. Every one of us. We're bound by our love of video games, and we get to hang out. Mitchell shows up. It's like, oh, it's Mitchell. I know him really well.
They also force us at gunpoint to do this show every week.
I wish.
No.
I wish anyone. No. I wish there was like no, Podcast Beyond's burning on someone's brain here that
hey,
much.
Hey, with those numbers, they're going to start being like, hey, they better be. Two show a week.
So what we're going to do is we're gonna give this out to one of the Podcast Beyond fans who doesn't have a PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might ask Brian, how am I going to check if you have a PlayStation 4 or not? I am not. There is no way to do it. However, if there's one thing I've learned from doing two live Beyond events and two, three call-in shows, right? If we lay down rules and we explain them to you, you guys follow them, right?
Yep.
So first off, you have a PlayStation 4. Excellent. You're not playing for your friends. Don't enter this competition. If you're somebody who doesn't have a PlayStation 4, what you need to do is write into beyond@ign.com, and then your subject line needs to be, I need a PS4. And then in the body of your email, you need to give me your phone number and mailing address. That's it. Go ahead and send them in. This competition ends in August. So like, I imagine sometime in September, I'll have been told I won.
Yeah.
And here's the prize, and here's how you can get it out to everybody. Mm-hmm. But we're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep pushing this. You need to keep voting. Right now, the kid who's in the lead, I believe, had 12,000 votes, 20,000 votes.
Oh, man, that poor guy. He's getting crushed.
On Sunday, I got to about 1,500. And then yesterday I started pushing out the like 2,000, 28,000 real quick. So if we all get on board with this, Mitchell,
right?
We can do this. We can stuff the ballot box, bring the PlayStation 4 home, and give it out to somebody who needs it, who listens to Podcast Beyond. So that's the thing. Everybody go to the bit.ly link, bit.ly/beyondpainting, all lowercase. Because I think in these short, doesn't it matter in the
It's fine. No, you're doing great so far.
All right, great. I think you have to do that. Yep. All right, cool. And then if you can win it, don't steal this from somebody else. Don't be a jerk.
If you have a PS4, don't lie, because you'll grow a tail and donkey ears and burn forever.
Dang. Yep. Wow. The burn forever, that was where I thought it went into a really dark place.
And you got like donkey parts, and you're like, oh, this hurts. You can't just burn forever. There's also the donkey stuff. I don't know why.
Does a regular donkey burn?
No. The regular donkeys aren't padding this contest with lies.
Sure, sure. That's true. Makes
unless they're talking donkeys and they write and listen to Podcast Beyond. Right. This got off the rails quick.
That's what we do here on Podcast
Beyond. Keep the Podcast Beyond.
Yeah.
Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
You're looking at me like, all right.
That's Colin's job. Colin starts the do-do-do-do-do.
I didn't know if he was calling this episode or if I'm calling.
I thought you could split the responsibilities.
All right, I can
do it. So I'm going to have you do the odd numbers of the Roper Report, and you will do the even. You have to share a piece of paper.
Oh, great.
I'm sorry.
Nice.
Oh, whatever. Come on. How many items are on the Roper Report?
We have 11.
A baker's dozen.
Nope, but okay.
Yeah, that's wait, not is how it. No, a baker's dozen. He throws you like an extra donut or something like that. You get 12, and he's like, thank you for supporting local bakeries, not buying donuts off of Amazon like everybody else. Here's an extra donut.
Right.
Yeah.
I wish that was true.
All right, number one, Velocity 2X has a release date for PS4 and PlayStation Vita. You can play Velocity Ultra 2X. This is my first time.
I was going to say, too, I did realize after I passed in the paper, the first one is literally just notes.
Yes.
There's no like sentence structure to this at all. So he was doing really well, because I think it doesn't just start to go like NA9.
Yes, it does. So if you live decipher in North America, that all. You can play Velocity Ultra 2X on September 2nd. And if you live in Europe, you can play it on September 3rd.
There you go.
He's got a good radio voice.
He does.
Thank you.
His dad earlier wanted him to do a little radio promo for the weather, like for the sound test.
Okay.
And he had no real idea what that means, because no one listens to the weather reports anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because it's got to be like, you know, this is Chet in the Chapter 5 copter. Let me tell you, right now it's stormy out here. I shouldn't be in a copter.
And I was like, it's 75, I think. Maybe.
Let me check my iPhone. I get the information beamed right to me. Velocity 2X, that's exciting.
Yeah.
If Colin was here, he'd tell you how amazing Velocity X is.
No, it's fun. I've been playing it recently.
Oh, it's great. Cool.
It's like a...
Wait, have you been playing Velocity 2X or Velocity?
Velocity 2X.
Okay.
It's a shooter with meets Portal.
Right.
Sort of.
It's just like the original Velocity, yeah, where you're going, it seems like it's going to be a shmup top-down kind of thing, but you get to teleport around the map throughout, yeah, destructions. So, did you like the original?
I did. Yeah. That Platinum Man.
Oof, no, I can't do that.
No, no way. No way. It's it threw me off for a loop because I was just like, you know, I think I know what I'm playing here. And then you start warping around.
Right.
And your brain doesn't get it in first. But that, yeah, after a little while, with some perseverance, it clicks and you're like, this is really awesome.
Right. So,
yeah. I like that they're still making games like that.
Yeah.
New convention.
Future Lab, man. They're into it. They, yep, know what they're up against. They also put out a whole bunch of art. They made Colin and I in the game. They made Shuhei in the game.
Oh,
we're,
really?
Not, we're not in the game, I should say. They made us in the style of the game and released, yeah, these screenshots of us.
Cool.
What That's we awesome. Would look like. We're saying beyond a lot.
Good.
All right.
Now, do you win a contest for that one, too?
Not yet. Remember, bit.ly/beyondpainting. B-I-T period L-Y.
Number two, the original Resident Evil is being remastered for PS4, Xbox One, PS3, Xbox 360, and PC. Sorry, Nintendo. Capcom has confirmed, due out in 2015, the title will be available via digital download only and is based on the 2002 GameCube remake, which was awesome, yep, by the way. 1080p visuals will be standard for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, while older consoles will get 720p. Aww. All versions will have 5.1 surround sound support. You can either choose to play the game in its old 4:3 ratio or bump it up to 16:9 widescreen. Other changes include various control options through the original, though the original scheme will be present, and a scrolling camera that appears to move away from the original's fixed angles in preference of a more dynamic approach. This is really awesome. Resident Evil Remake is one of my favorite video game remakes of all time. It looked like a PS4 game years before we even knew what those looked like.
Yeah. Because, it did look amazing when it came out.
Because the backgrounds were pre-rendered, and for those people that don't know what that is, it's basically they created like a almost like a matte painting like you would see behind a scene in like Lord of the Rings. Uh-huh. And all the action took place in front of it. But because of the parity between the character models and the enemies and the backgrounds, everything just looked like it was all coming from the same place, right?
Okay.
When really it wasn't. It was kind of tricking you. They don't really make games like that anymore because now you can render a background to look amazing. Like everything in The Last of Us was 3D and modeled and stuff like that. But it's cool to see they're trying this again. We'll see how well it holds up, or if they're remaking the graphics from scratch, or if they're just bumping up some JPEGs in Photoshop. Then the whole plan
What
falls
level
apart.
Of hope do you hold out for? It's one of your favorite games.
So I loved the old school Resident Evils. I have no intention of ever playing games that control like that ever again. Those old tank controls were very difficult. So they did mention here that they are trying some new control schemes, which is weird. I don't know if that's going to break the flow of the game and everything. So it's a tough thing, right? You know, it's sort of like when they did, you know, like remakes of The Wizard of Oz and stuff like that.
Sure.
And you're like, well, you added all this stuff, but you didn't need to do that.
Right,
or like
right, right.
You know, the special editions of Star Wars, where you're like, I have this memory of this, and technically it's, you know, it was wonderful for its time, and I don't know how well that'll age. Sometimes you kind of just want things to stay the way they were forever. Sometimes they remake them and they make a bunch of changes that maybe ruin retroactively the original vision of what
sure.
you thought it was
mm-hmm. sure.
to begin with.
I always think of Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes, right?
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I love. Metal Gear Solid's my favorite game. Jumping in and playing on the GameCube was great, but then they put first person mode in it. So like the, you know,
it broke a bunch of bosses.
Yeah,
fights.
When you fight the cyborg ninja for the first time, right? And
yeah.
you're just like, you just sit in the back corner and shoot him every
that
time
was
you
all it was, yeah. yeah, yeah. And said it took all the challenge out of the game and stuff like that. I think that this Resident Evil was amazing when it first came out for the, you know, the PS1 and
yeah.
stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it was even more amazing when it came out for GameCube as a remake. Since then, so many weird things have happened to the Resident Evil franchise and name. So I'll be interested to see where this goes. This might be like a director's cut, sort of like we saw, you know, so many different versions of Blade Runner, and
yeah.
one or two are the best. I'm interested in it, cautiously optimistic.
Tim writes in to beyond@ign.com, just like you can at home. And he says, Beyond!
Beyond.
Beyond.
Greetings to the Beyond crew and the ever-rotating third chair. This is Tim Wise-Hunt here again. I saw that Capcom is going to be remastering the remake. See what he did there?
Yeah.
Remake. That's cute. I'm excited and surprised, yet not as surprised at all, given how common remakes are these days. My first PlayStation was the PS3. I bought it from a friend in 2010. I did have a GameCube, but I never finished the remake there or the port to Wii. Seeing it in 1080p on my PS4 will be awesome. I want to know what you think about it, and if sales are strong, what kind of an effect you think it'll have in the future of the franchise. I think Resident Evil is begging for a relaunch,
yeah.
a revamp,
yeah.
a back-to-basics approach.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if this hits off that you go from there and say, all right, we're restarting, and now there's a new Resident Evil 2 or what, but they definitely need to get back to what made the series great, because they lost that.
So the Resident Evil ramped up and sort of got, you know, better and better, and then it hit Resident Evil 4, which to me was like the pinnacle of where you could go with that franchise. Mm-hmm. Now that splintered it off, though, because now it became sort of half survival horror, half action. And then Resident Evil 5 came out and it was like pure action, and people were like, this is off the rails. And then 6, they were like, we need to make the most bipolar game ever. let's make it half for horror fans and half for action fans. And it was totally disjointed, very messy. Right. A bunch of light gun games came out in the meantime. Like, it is a weird franchise. It's one of the longest running narratives in video game history. Like, the same story has been happening for like 20 years now, and it's gotten totally off the rails. People get shot in the face and they die, and then they come back. Wesker got crushed by a boulder, and
Wesker will always be back.
He's always back. I mean, he'd fall in lava and he'll come back the next year. Greg's right. They need to do something new with this franchise, and if doing something new means going back to where it started originally, where the original idea was great, then I'm all for that. Let's see where it goes from there. I'd like to see the series go back to survival horror. So maybe this is the planting of the seed.
Mitchell.
Yes.
When the first Resident Evil came out,
right,
your dad had probably just started dating your mom. So, do you have any connection to this franchise? Does Resident Evil mean anything to you? Because for Brian, it was a big deal when it came out, let alone the GameCube remake, where in college I put my GameCube in and waited for it to get dark and then played.
Yeah, that's when I started dating your mom, Greg.
No! Dad!
Colin is our son.
So many different timelines.
So many.
Do you care about Resident Evil? Do you try to get into them?
By the time I got into gaming, I think Resident Evil 5 had come out, which what I know is where it started to go downhill a little bit.
Yeah.
Because then I know Resident Evil 6. Like, not many people like Resident Evil 6. I played a little bit of the original when it came on a PS1 Classic to PS3, but never really got into the series that much. So with the remake, I might try it out, because I know that that's one of those like video game franchises that you like need to play a little bit. So I'll be interested to see it.
Yeah. Okay. It's always interesting to me to see like when a lot of people fight for numbered games and they're like, you got to keep that going. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. Like, imagine, you know, you played Resident Evil 5 for the first time and you're like, what am I missing? Like, what were the 10 years
Why
of games
Why did anyone care
this?
About this story?
Yeah, they're like, wait, this is the fifth one of these? This is not that great. So
that was always what was brilliant with the PlayStation 4 stuff, right? Yeah. Where Killzone wasn't Killzone 4. It was just like, we're Killzone Shadowfall. Yeah. You know, here, Uncharted. It's Uncharted 4 Thief's End? I already forgot what the full title is. Is it just Uncharted Thief's End?
They did put a 4
They put a 4
in
the final?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
I walked right into that. What was the Infamous Second Son? I knew there was another example from the launch window.
It's a little easier when your numbered games are all like on one platform
or one device. You can get them in one place. Yeah,
and with hardware, obviously, it's different. Nobody plays a PS4 and goes, "Oh man, do I have to play the PlayStation 1 through 3 before?" I play this?
All right,
spoilers.
Next up on the Roper Report.
All right, number 3. Uncharted 4, there you go.
There it is.
Yeah. Will be a, quote, lighthearted romp, according to Naughty Dog co-president Evan Wells. Quote, Uncharted is a completely different franchise and appeals to its audience for completely different reasons, said Wells. I don't think that The Last of Us marks a new direction in tone that all of our future games are going to take on. We'd alienate a lot of Uncharted fans. We want to keep it a lighthearted romp. I think from a technical standpoint, we've learned some things from The Last of Us that will feed into Uncharted. In fact, it strengthens our desire to keep them distinct.
A lighthearted romp.
Yeah.
You pointed out all these occurrences from just the trailer and the name.
Right. Yeah. So, first of all, the game's called A Thief's End.
Yeah.
Which is not about him finishing a book. So it sort of implies that either his career is over or he dies.
Right.
Neither of which are very, you know, I mean, I guess his career ending could be nice.
Happy.
He rides off. Retirement. But even then, he'll go to some island. He'll be like, you might be some treasure on this island. Right?
Yeah.
And they're like, come on, you're retired.
I got to find all these little inking things around.
But yeah, the trailer was entirely bleak. You know, it was him waking up in a puddle with a fly on him.
He's busted up. There's skeletons in the freaking trees.
There's skeletons hanging in cages. They're like dead pirates in these... They put them in like these hanging jail cells where they rotted to death. They were probably picked apart by
a lighthearted romp.
It'll be fun.
Everything's gray and dark, and he's like, "Oh, Sully, I gotta go do this."
It's funny though, because I mean, we always talk about it. Uncharted is lighthearted, right?
Yeah.
Drake kills 3 million pirates, and no one ever thinks like, "Oh, that's crazy."
Yep. No one ever thinks about it.
He kisses the girl and gets the treasure at the end.
I think in a way that we were able to find sort of the dark tones in the Uncharted games. I'm replaying The Last of Us now,
yeah.
And I'm actually, because I know everything that's happening already, spoilers, none of it's good. It's called The Last of Us. It's a very bleak game. But because I know all of those points that it hits, I'm actually able to identify the humor in it a little bit more.
Right.
And sort of the absurdity and the ridiculousness of it all. Like, when I sneak up on somebody now, and when, you know, say you have, like, Tess and Ellie, and they're running behind you, but they do the thing where they run 10 feet ahead and run back.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, you're going to get seen! And now in season, they come back, and I sneak up on this guy, and I hit him with a brick, and I'm like, oh, that's really funny. I'm able to turn that into sort of a comedy game the same way we were able to turn Uncharted into something very dark. Because we've joked about it on the show before, but when Drake kills a security guard in a fountain.
Yeah, that was mine.
And puts him face down.
Yeah, he drowns. There's no way to save that
you
guy.
You can't save that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
And that's the night shift.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
one's coming until like the 10 o'clock the next morning. Somebody comes by and is
all
like,
these bloated corpses in the
gotta
pool.
Gotta open the museum. I don't know why this museum opens at 10 a.m. It's a very lazy museum.
Yeah.
But yeah, you find a bunch of bloated dead corpses covered in flies, and then, you know, it's a lighthearted romp.
It's funny, that's what's happening with me in The Last of Us, too. Like, you know, I was pretty vocal when I first beat it in PlayStation 3, where I was like, I'm done with it, I'm putting it away, I'm not going to try to trophy hunt it.
Yeah.
That's not, I had such an experience with it.
Yeah.
But then I started getting that itch, especially after I played Left Behind again, where I was like, man, that was a lot of fun, I would like to replay it. And so I was replaying it over the weekend on my Twitch channel, and talking to people and knowing everything that's going to happen, and not like talking to people during cutscenes and stuff, like, I totally am not invested in the same way, and I want to stop playing it now because I don't want to, you know, I guess, you know, what I'm trying to say.
Tarnish,
thank you. I was trying to say tinker, and that
I
wasn't
got you.
Right.
No.
High five.
Yeah, you can tinker.
Well, I don't want to tarnish.
It's not a good tinker, though.
I don't want to tarnish the story I had in my head, you know, like what I thought of that. But like knowing everything, there are more parts where it's like, all right, now I got to go through all this to get to Bill. Ugh. All right, you know what I mean? Like I enjoyed not knowing where it was going, and knowing where it's going now, it's like, eh.
That actually, it got me, I'm going through the exact same thing with The Last of Us right now. Exactly the same thing. We were talking about this the other day. But it's actually got me to the point where I don't know if there's a lot of sort of inherent value for me repeating the viewing of anything I enjoy anymore. Like,
yeah.
I saw Guardians of the Galaxy over the weekend.
Right.
And I absolutely loved it. But I was talking to people who saw it three times already. And they're like, yeah, you know, it really holds up for the third time. But I started to notice some flaws and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, yeah, you spent like 6 hours of your life in 3 days seeing this movie already. Like, I don't know if there's any value for me to do that. And I think with games like The Last of Us, you and I said afterwards, we're done. Like, we beat that game. You know, there's games that you go, like, I remember Heavy Rain. You beat that game 13 times, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You did an article where you got every single
I had every
ending.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there and I read your article. And I'm like, this is incredible, but I couldn't do this myself because my playthrough of Heavy Rain was my playthrough.
Right.
And I wanted it to just be, that's my story forever. But now, you know, you have HD remakes happen every few years. Like, even Resident Evil Remake, I have a vision of that game in my brain that I want to kind of stay that way forever.
Yeah.
I want to replay it, and that might change. So I think I'm done doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be Johnny one time.
There's so many games that come out, you just don't have time to go through.
Right. Yeah.
I kind of had the same thing with The Walking Dead, like season one with Clementine and Lee. Like, that was my story. I don't want to change that.
Yeah.
Like, I want that memory of like that one playthrough, and that's it. I don't want to. Well, I mean, I did kind of want to go back and see like what would happen if I you know, just killed this walker instead
Right.
of like, letting it get Clem, whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a great one too, because there are so many like very down of the wire, deep decisions you make in that game.
Right.
And to just sort of like go back the next time around and be like, oh, you know, Bobby died last time. I don't give a crap about him. Let's go save Jesse or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, none of those.
Yeah,
are
there's a different
characters.
Feeling for me for sure from season one to season two, because season one I reviewed. So season one, I'd finish it and then go back and do all those moments.
Yeah, right.
Because you can rewind to those moments and see how it branches off. And I wanted to see a little bit of everything. But for season two, for sure, like especially episode four that just came out and I played through. No spoilers. Don't worry. I totally missed. I forget, we were doing something. We were at something when the trailer came out, so I didn't even rewind the trailer. So I literally sat down to play it, and I was like, this is the first one since probably episode one that I mean episode one of like episode one. You know what I mean? Like, where I knew nothing about it, right? Because even with season two, episode one, like, I knew things off the record about what I was about to get into and yada yada. But yeah, to sit down and not know what the story was going to be in the characters, and like, for sure, there was that intense of like, it's the choices pop up and it starts counting down. I'm like, oh god, I don't know.
Yeah,
I do this one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I have not gone back to see the other way. Like, I'm just like, I'm fine living the way my Clem lives.
Right.
What's up next, Brian?
Only do things once. Number four. This is a good one. Oxford University recently found that a small amount of regular video game play can be beneficial for teens and children. Conducted on their...
Yes. In your face, Dad!
I still want to send this to my parents. I've been working in the video game industry for like 8 years professionally now, right. And my parents were still sort of like... Those things are a waste of your time. And I'm like, this is my life now. Conducted on nearly 5,000 children aged 10 to 15 with varying levels of... How old are you?
I am 16.
Oh, you just missed it. With varying levels of gameplay habits, ranging from no time spent playing to multiple hours per day, the study concluded that children who spend an hour or less each day playing video games tended to be better adjusted and happier individuals. That's an hour, though.
Yeah, I know, right? So those stats go up when you play for 48 hours straight.
Yeah, exactly. That's like saying, you know, people who only drink alcohol for 1 hour are in a great mood. If you keep going from there, it gets bad.
If you have one drink a day.
If you have three, you're a mess and you start crying.
Obviously not surprising, I think.
No,
you know
I don't
mean?
Think so.
Gamers are super dialed in people.
Yeah, and I think they're only getting smarter, and I think when I was growing up, games were very simple. But even then I knew that I would have like a bad day at school and I could come home and I could play a game like DuckTales or Super Mario Brothers 3, something I could beat, you know, in one sitting. Like,
right.
And I would walk away feeling accomplished, awesome. And I was like, this is victorious. This is really cool. And I would explain to my parents, like, there is a story here. There is a narrative. It's not just me sitting in front of the television mashing my fingers on a piece of plastic, although that's what it looks like. But, you know, like sitting there holding a book, rubbing your finger against dead trees is also a very reductive way of saying someone's reading.
Right.
But I think there's narrative there, and I think there's accomplishment to be found in sitting down and beating a video game from start to finish. And obviously there's very dumb things you can do in video games for a very long time. And that probably aids the people who do say video games are bad for you and stupid. Yeah. But there's something to be said here. You know? I think there is something to take from video games that can make you smarter and a better person.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear.
I mean, if you spend that hour calling other people's mothers bad names on Xbox Live, totally different story.
Play Portal.
Don't take this hour and use it the wrong way. Take this hour and do the right thing.
Do something with your hour a day.
Yeah, because if Oxford University says we get an hour a day to play video games, do good stuff with that hour.
Yeah, it's true.
No one's ever said that before. Hold on to that. Don't ruin it for everybody else.
All right, Mitchell, you're up.
My turn.
This is like the scene in The Deer Hunter.
Yeah.
Where they just keep with the guns.
All right. He didn't see that. It came out between the Mighty Ducks.
Honestly, I've never seen either. I just know the scene.
The Deer Hunter?
Yeah.
It's a really weird movie.
Yeah, it doesn't look like an uplifting
You've
one.
You've seen The Deer Hunter, right? Oh, my God. It's a very dark movie. There's two movies in that movie. The first movie is that it's a half an hour long dinner scene where they're just like, oh, well, good luck at the war. And then suddenly it just cuts and they're in the war and it's like, for an hour and a half. And then the movie ends.
Oh, great.
So, you know.
Number five, WWE. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, that was...
It wasn't the cutoff. It was just the drastic difference in what tone we are going for.
All right.
Go from the war to number five.
Yeah,
WWE.
Number five!
2K15 Hulkamania Edition announced for PS4 and Xbox One. Here's a rundown of everything your $99 will get you if you manage to get your hands on one of the 25,000 of these being made. You'll get a copy of WWE 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Premium packaging.
Sure.
Collectible art card hand-signed by Hulk Hogan.
Poor Hulk Hogan has to sit there for 25,000 times.
25,000 signatures?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No, it gets crazier.
Exclusive Funko Hollywood Hulk Hogan vinyl figure.
Oh, those are cool.
That's cool. Yeah. I like Funkos.
An actual piece of the ring canvas from Hogan's Monday Night Raw appearance on March 10th, 2014.
How the hell do you cut it into 25,000 pieces?
What?
Two playable pre-order launch exclusive Hulk Hogan characters and two playable pre-order launch exclusive Sting characters.
Part of the ring,
what do you mean the mat he was on?
From his Monday Night Raw appearance, when he walked out and talked in the ring or whatever, they then took that canvas and cut that into 25,000 pieces.
How do they know he touched all of it?
They don't.
You know what they probably did? They probably cut out all the pieces and they put him on a hill and they rolled him down it. Make sure he touches a little bit of every piece.
He's got to touch every card he's hand signing.
A little bit of Hogan sweat. So I saw Hulk Hogan in the airport on the way back from San Diego Comic Con with his manager, Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
Yep.
what it was just like, it's so weird to see those two guys just walking through an airport
just being
together.
Dudes, just broing out.
Yeah, just, and this girl was standing next to me and she was like, was that Hollywood Hulk Hogan? That was my version of her accent. Hers was a lot more real. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, are you sure it wasn't an imposter? And I'm like, no, you know how I could tell? He had the mustache, the glasses, the bandana, and his shirt said Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
That's what I was going
to watch. Those are the clues that tipped me
so
off.
So at no point were Jimmy and Hulk there trying to blend in.
No.
They were very bright, very yeah. easy to expect.
Yeah, there's. I mean, I know like sometimes Lady Gaga gets on a plane and she wears a costume or something like that, or she puts on a hat or sunglasses
yeah.
or something. Hulk Hogan walks through the airport as Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Like, was he being stopped every 5 feet?
Yeah, and I'm sure, but like they were like, do you have any weapons or things you need? And he's like, no, brother.
Just these
like,
pythons.
yeah, I mean, man, 25,000 signatures.
Was it you and I that were talking about this where like – the best movie we could do now to revamp Hulk Hogan's career,
yeah.
based on, because we got an argument. I said that he doesn't get checked at security; they just
let him
through. And you're like, no, they check him. I'm like, I don't. The best thing we were talking about doing would be a movie where it turns out that Hulk Hogan is a sleeper agent for a terrorist,
yeah.
and this has all been building up to this. And so they don't even check him, and then he just hijacks the plane, and it's Hulk Hogan has the plane. And everybody has to try to stop him.
A fun footnote about that conversation is that behind that conversation, we were laughing about it.
Yeah.
We're like, haha, this is a funny story. Let's never tell this on any podcast.
I think I just phrased it in a way though that didn't sound as terrorist-y.
Is this summer's most secret terrorist?
It's like a great episode of Homeland. Except it stars Hulk Hogan.
I would watch that in a heartbeat.
Right? You'd see that movie. You know you would. Hulk Hogan's his 60-year career has been leading up to this.
Mouth of the South. What's inside of that megaphone? Nothing. Just loud noises. Do they know there's a bomb in here? So, yeah, 25,000 signatures. Get that special edition Hulk Hogan. You get some cool stuff. And, damn, he worked for it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Sting, by the way, he just got thrown in there. He didn't have to do anything at all. They're like, oh, yeah, throw in one
he
of
had to do.
Characters.
He had to cut the IGN promo here.
Yeah,
you can watch it on IGN.
Go watch that. Yeah. Number 6, a limited edition PlayStation 4 themed around LGBT Pride's rainbow flag has been sold to raise money for charity. Swedish retailer Webhallen... or Holland, I don't know how you say that, sold the console for 28,300 Swedish kroner. That's real money.
It's 10 bucks.
Their money's awesome, by the way, because it actually has pictures of cartoon birds on it.
Which, does it?
Yeah. Swedish kroners have drawings of people riding birds. They have Skyward Sword money
That's
in
awesome.
Sweden. Which comes in at around $4,118 and gave the money to RFSL, a charity dedicated to supporting the LGBT community. There's a nickname for this, or I think they're actually calling it the Gay Station.
Gay Station, yeah. It was in the article. It's Gay Station.
Which is, it's actually, I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think
it's awesome. It's actually looks cool. You see it?
Like,
it's a rainbow PS4, and then it's got a heart on top of it.
Like an 8-bit heart on top. Yeah, it looks really cool. I was actually talking about with some friends about this, and I think it's awesome. I think it's really good. I have a feeling most of these will be relegated to people's entertainment centers, but that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good move. I think that we need to reach a point where our software is taking leads like this,
right?
And then our hardware can catch up. Like, I think there needs to be more emphasis on movements like this in our video game protagonists. First.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But it's a good first step. And then, you know, you can have your, you know, controllers that are skinned with rainbows and stuff like that. But, like, let's get some LGBT main characters in games.
Right.
Like,
it's all part of the same process, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just breaking down that wall and making – because, I mean, like, Gay Station, right, is actually thrown around usually as a derogatory term. And so to see them take
awesome.
It and spin it and own it, it's like, yep, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's totally. That's really awesome that it's just like if you're a troll, you're like, oh, they took one of my favorite words.
Oh, that was a shot across the bow. We know about it with your crones.
He's got the chalkboard full of derogatory PlayStation terms. He crosses one out.
A troll HQ. Love it. No, I'm with you. And I mean, you see breakthroughs, I think, with like, you know, especially BioWare games, but for sure we want to see more
troll
of that.
Troll HQ.
He's ringing up the other trolls. Let him know.
Mom, we'll be up in a minute.
are the pizza rolls ready?
Mitchell, all right.
You're on.
So that's that.
Seven. No Man's Sky, the randomly generated universe exploration title from Hello Games, is coming to PC, according to next month's issue of Edge Magazine.
Death of the exclusive.
Don't expect to play it on the same day as PS4 owners, though, as it's still a time exclusive on Sony's latest console.
That was it. I don't care, but I know people need to know.
Right.
I was still more excited for it. I mean, hold on. I just came up with a good one. I'm more excited, of course, to play it on the PlayStation because I like trophies, number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number two, I like controllers.
Me too.
James writes in about all that. We got nothing else to say about No Man's Sky. Does anybody care?
I'm excited for No Man's Sky.
Oh, no, I think I'm
get it on every platform possible. Make all your money back, developers. Right. Stay in business.
The game looks beautiful. I'm really happy about the art style.
Yeah.
I think that they're sort of just like, they did this rare thing that they sort of picked an art style and they stuck with it and they're nailing it. And it's made by a small group of people. Mm-hmm. So support that stuff.
James writes in. He doesn't say beyond because he's mad. He says, hey, guys, what's with all the PC hate? I know you sound like you're joking, but you guys constantly rag on PC gaming for weird reasons. Saying stuff like, quote, while I don't like playing on the keyboard, is silly because almost every game works if you just plug in an Xbox controller. You almost sound like the trolls in the IGN comments. Anyways, try to ease back on the hate if you could. Here's my problem, James. You hit the nail on the head twice. Sounds like you're joking. You sound like the trolls in the IGN comments.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Welcome to the joke. Like... No, yes, I don't like playing on PCs because I don't like mouse and keyboard. You're a liar when you're saying the Xbox controller works on almost every game. It works on a lot of them. Can't play Marvel Heroes with it, so there's a big problem.
Yep.
I'm not even going down that hole of what I'm pretty sure about. I know I can't play Marvel's Heroes on. I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
Things like Gone Home originally didn't work with it either.
Right. No, we're playing up an act.
Yeah.
Basically.
Everything's exaggerated when we talk about our hate for PC.
Yeah,
I don't hate PCs. I could care less what you play on. Could not care less.
That being said... We always joke about this and drivers and updating all that stuff like that. And Greg and I was just like, you know, we actually like PC gaming. It's fun.
Yeah.
But there's a couple times a year where like somebody would be like, oh, you know, this new game's coming out, but it's not on PS4 yet. Here's the early copy for PC.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, cool. And we both go home and play it. And then come in the next day and we're like, how'd it go? It didn't go well at all.
Yeah.
Why? Because a whole bunch of problems popped up and I had to update the drivers and drag the .exe file to the WinZip file 9 folder.
Exactly.
It didn't work.
And I do think for sure that I'm cursed. It is a self-fulfilling prophecy somehow that this always happens to me. And people are always like, just leave your PC on, it updates by yourself. I'm like, well, that's sucking up a lot of power for me to play a game once every 3 months on it. You know what I mean? To do something weird. Because it only gets turned on when I really need it for stuff. Like, I want to play the new Marvel's Hero stuff. Okay, you jump in there, and then they got this update, and then this isn't working right, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
There's all these different problems. And it all just comes back to whatever system you use most frequently is the best to you.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. I'll say it right now. Publicly, with no shame, that the PC is probably the best platform for video games.
Yeah, of course.
I totally get that. You have this amazing library and all this stuff, and it's like, I have a giant tower that doesn't work great.
Mm-hmm.
It's expensive to fix it, just to know that I'm going to have to spend more money and fix something else in it in 6 months. I like the idea that the Xbox One isn't getting much use right now, other than playing TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I do need to turn that on to play something of a video game variety,
it'll work.
It's probably going to be like, if it's been unplugged, I need to update. Cool,
yeah.
It'll update, and I can go. And I understand that that's the trade-off for me with PC gaming and video games, right, and console games. I could be on a PC and get a much better experience and have it look a lot better and yada, yada, yada. But there's money and time and all this stuff. I don't want to think about it. I want to come home and turn it on and play the game. And
right.
If I have to sit through an install or an update for a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox One, cool.
Yeah.
But I don't want to have to go through all the trouble.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm totally with you on that. I'm all for PC gaming. I think it's an amazing platform. I think that the fact that we've reached a point where I could sort of impulsively be like, I want to play that Tomb Raider game
from
6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in like six clicks... I have it
right
for a few dollars. That's crazy because on console gaming, you mostly still have to like call GameStop and be like, hey, and they're like, oh, do you have any pre-orders? You want to stop talking to me? And you have to go into a store and it's a pain in the ass. That being said, you know, when Hotline Miami first came out, everyone's like you got to play this, and I'm like, this isn't very fun with, you know, WASD and the mouse and keyboard. And they're like, don't worry, if you plug in an Xbox 360 controller, and somebody emailed me this entire tutorial because at that point. The people making Hotline Miami hadn't patched in traditional controller support yet, so people had sort of woven around that and figured out ways to do it. And it took me 2 hours, and I finally got it working, except up didn't work. And I was like, I guess I screwed something up. Spoilers, you have to press up a couple times in that game, and most games. And a few months later, it was on Vita.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
And I got a download code for it, and I hit start. And up worked. And I played the game for hours and hours, and it was my favorite game that month. It was one of my favorite games that year.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to think about it. And that was my experience with that, and I just want that to be like that forever. So when PC gaming can do that for everything, then yes, I'm all in. Until then, I'm going to be sort of a nag about it.
And that's the it's not that we're not ragging on PC gaming to rag on it just to be ragging on it. I've said rag a lot. I'm saying it in the same way I used to give DC Comics a hard time about not going digital. I want this to change so I can just enjoy it and be done with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Origin keeps making these really small PCs, like consoles. size. And obviously steam box and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, yeah, I could imagine having that there and just ready to go. But the problem is that, yeah, what if I want to play this game and then it is only WASDA? And then I've moved this out to my living room. And so now I got to sit on the coffee table all uncomfortably. Like when I played SimCity. I was the South Park guy from the MMO episode.
Yeah.
It was all like this for SimCity because I had it on my coffee table. And then I cleared everything off the second shelf of the coffee table and pushed my legs through it. And so I was like in this weird console just playing it with Portillo curled up next to me. And it's like,
yep.
I'm not down for that. I want it just to be simple. And the other thing I always come back to, too, is like when we're talking about the simplicity thing, we'll get off this in a second. Sorry to keep ragging on it for you. yesterday I was streaming on Twitch, right?
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, thanks so much for the stream. This was great. Where do you find the time? You know what I mean? Like, this is what I'm talking about. I'm really busy. I try to do all these different shows, and I work at IGN, and I go to PAX, and I see everyone. It's amazing life, and I love being around everybody. But that means that when I come home, I just want to work. That was an on-purpose curse. I just want to sit down and have it all work, function perfectly.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit there and be like, well, I'm going to troubleshoot. Why aren't these controllers working? You know what I mean? It's like when Justin and I just did a bunch of Unturned demos.
Yeah.
And you put the PC in the room, you connect all this stuff. And granted, mm-hmm. we're pushing these PCs in ways normal people wouldn't if they're just hooked up to your TV or your monitor.
Right.
But you get in there, something's wrong, and they look at me, and I'm like, I don't know. We have to go get somebody who understands this system.
Yeah, exactly. It's not worth it sometimes.
It isn't. But as it goes back to, play wherever you want to play. Play yeah. video games, support developers, get good
That's
games.
That's why my favorite sentence I hear now is coming to consoles. That being said,
I felt like that was a rant, and it wasn't meant to be.
No, I mean, like, you know.
Thanks. All right, well, good. As long as you enjoyed it, Mitchell.
What are we going to do? As long as the audience knows that you despise PC and PC
gamers. And that's the thing, is I really wish I could stream Marvel Heroes, but I'm pretty sure my PC can't do that.
Yep.
Let alone the hoops I now have to jump through to make sure that works.
Nope.
All right, sorry. Who's next? I don't even know where we left off. Okay. Brian?
Where are we?
Number top of page 8.
Sega has released its results for the first quarter of the financial year, revealing a profit drop.
Ah,
57.4%.
Ooh, Sonic.
But don't worry, it's quickly followed up with a here's why. The only title released in the quarter was Persona Q Shadow of the Labyrinth, which only hit the Japanese market and sold 250,000 units. With the year, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Not
good enough to carry an entire company.
With the year ahead promising Sonic Boom and Alien Isolation, hopefully the company will manage to turn things around before the year's end.
Sad news. If this is all I did, when you would have said profit loss of 54%, I would have done the Sonic ring noise where he loses all his rings. So I just want you guys to know that I do think sometimes.
Yeah.
What if this is a real show?
So this is really sad news, but as a 33-year-old man, my gender had nothing to do with that statement. I would have been amazed if you told me 10 years ago that Sega would still be here doing what they're doing now.
Right.
So I'm actually floored that this is still even a thing. Because I think a 57% drop was probably from the $11 they made last year. they still make cool stuff. Alien Isolation looks awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm really happy that's a thing. Sonic Boom, I'm really not hot on, but I mean, if Sonic fans have proven year after year that Sonic games don't have to be good for Sonic fans to buy them. Again, that's two weird things to sort of bet the whole farm on, but we'll see. Alien Isolation is the one with the potential to sort of break out and be the best-selling game that month. Mm. The really bad Alien game that came out a few years ago, Colonial Marines, we all crapped on it. Every major reviewer did. That was still like the third or fourth best-selling game that month, which made me all...
But how many people did that burn? How many people did that burn? That's what I always worry. Yes. I went to Pachi's, a pizza place here in San Francisco, and the waiter knew me and was talking to me about video games and yada yada. He was talking about that Alien Isolation looked cool, but he had bought that last Aliens game, so like, is this one really cool or does it look cool like the other one? I'm like, no, it looks like it's actually going to work out.
That's a bummer, right? How that sort of like ruins things.
Have to imagine the people making Isolation were like, God dang it. What are you? Come on. You know what I mean? When it comes out, like,
We don't really think about that because we're so in deep and we're like, you know, a whole new team's working on this. It's got different gameplay. It's almost a completely different genre.
Yeah.
It actually is. It's not a first person shooter.
No, it's
you can go the entire game without killing anyone, which is very different than Colonial Marines. Brand awareness is a huge thing, and you can come in with a cleaver and destroy a franchise that's been around for ages. And I think the 1-2 punch of this of that game and then Prometheus being like, we're an Aliens movie, not a good thing for the franchise. So these guys, they have a lot to prove, and there's a lot of burden on their shoulders to carry into this next game. It looks awesome, so hopefully they can turn things around. But yeah, one bad project can ruin a franchise for a lot of people for a long time. Yeah. So we'll see.
All right. I'm going to run through these. I made the Rubber Report too long.
All right.
I screwed up. So anyways, number 9, Deep Silver announced that it's acquired the rights to the Homefront franchise from Crytek. This is big news because Colin's been keeping us updated via reading the Kotaku reports of what's happening. It's still unclear. They bought all the assets from Crytek, but now they've started this new studio called Dam Buster Studios. It looks like it's made up of the Crytek UK things, but it's all kind of unclear. But it looks like the people who were working on it at Crytek have now gone into this new studio, and they're working with Deep Silver to make the game finished.
Okay. Yeah, and this was a weird story, right? Because we didn't know about this game, and then we knew about it, and then we sort of heard it was canceled.
Yeah. Right.
It's usually you hear about a game, it comes out, and then the studio goes away because they finish their project, and they move on to something else. Which is, it's a sad story, but it's the saga we're all used to here. So this was kind of different.
Sure.
Like, they're like, excited? Hey. Not anymore.
Yeah. We gotcha. Yeah, gotcha. Hopes up for another Homefront.
Yep.
Number 10, August PlayStation Plus titles will be out by the time you hear this, so go to the store and download them. On the PlayStation 4, you're getting the roguelike puzzle adventure, The Road Not Taken, which came to Up at Noon. I'm super excited about it. It looks fun. It's a good puzzler. You're also getting Fez. PlayStation 3 gamers are getting Crysis 3. And if that's not to your liking, says Colin Moriarty, the experimental exploration game Proteus. Last but no means least, Vita owners are going to be able to try Metrico, which got a 6.5 from Colin.
Yeah.
He said it was okay. Not great. But it's free, so what do you care? Kind of. It's also weird that this isn't even out until next month officially. So if you're PlayStation Plus, you're getting this game for free early.
Metrico?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh,
I didn't know that. I've been playing it too.
Yeah. Well, la-di-da.
No, it's just...
How lucky... The crown must be heavy on your head.
I won the IGN lottery. I get to play 6.5.
And then, also on the Vita there, you get Lego Harry Potter years 5 through 7 if you live in Europe, or Dragon's Crown if you're in North America.
Those were good years.
Yeah.
Those are the ones, yeah. He kissed a girl.
Yeah?
Yeah, and then he fights Voldemort. Spoiler, he beats him.
Yeah, this is not ages 5 through 7, right?
No.
Because that's a lot to go through.
Yeah.
It's a 6-year-old game.
And then rounding out the Roper Report, number 11, Assassin's Creed Rogue is real. Coming to PlayStation 3 and 360 November 11th, you'll play as Shea Patrick Cormac, a Templar tasked with thinning the Assassin's ranks. As expected, you'll be sailing around the northern Atlantic Ocean in a ship called Morrigan. Morrigan?
Yeah.
Morrigan? Yeah. All right. Not Morgan. Morrigan, I think that's what we're called. Exploring New York and the Appalachian River Valley.
Yeah. So if you're keeping score at home, that is Assassin's Creed Unity, Assassin's Creed Rogue, and Far Cry 4, which were all leaked early. Every one of those were like projects that Ubisoft was trying to keep a secret that all came out early. So I don't know what's going on over there.
What's going on is like 400 people work on every game.
That's the truth, right. Yeah.
How hard is it to keep a secret with 15 people in the editorial pool at IGN, let alone spread over countries?
So I think it was Unity. Somebody was like rendering the trailer on their iPad on a plane. Was like, yo, what's that? And he's like, oh, it's just this game I'm working on.
No, it wasn't even that. Do you remember what it was?
They were sitting behind
the story. No, they were sitting next to each other, and the kid was playing Liberation.
Oh.
And he's like, and the guy next to him was like, oh, you like Assassin's Creed? He's like, yeah. And he's like, I'm working on the next Assassin's Creed.
Oh my God,
and showed him everything for Assassin's Creed 4, like Black Flag, I guess. And then that kid got on Gaff and put it all up, and he's like, it's going to be Pirates. Blah, blah. And everyone in the comments is like, shut up. That would never happen. No,
it's
one
like,
would ever.
No one will ever believe
you. Yeah, exactly. He's like, I'll tell you everything you want to know, but no one will ever believe you.
Yeah.
Mitchell.
Yeah.
The next Assassin's Creed sounds like Assassin's Creed.
It does.
And I'm looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. But it's not out for a long time. If I wanted to know what was out right now, where would I go?
You go to the Andrew Goldfarb Memorial List of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors.
So positive music's back.
Oh, and it's just weird to have a jingle after a memorial.
Well, that's why it made sense to do the dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, see that? Dun, but you want to bring it up
the... Yeah. Well, at the meet and greet at Comic-Con? Yeah, that's where we were. Comic-Con. Somebody was like, it's bringing me down. You got to bring back the happy jingle. So I was like, oh, okay, whatever. Out this week, and I'm only reading the PlayStation drop because I forgot to do this part because I always forget something when Colin isn't here. So digitally this week, God knows what comes to stores. Dirt 3 for the PlayStation 3, Metrico for the Vita, MotoGP 13 for the Vita, Road Not Taken for PS4, which I'm so stoked about.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a puzzle game. Might not be everybody's cup of tea, but it looks like a lot of fun. And like I said, PlayStation Plus, so whatever. Sacred 3 on PlayStation 3, Tabletop Racing on Vita, The Swapper on PS4, PS3, and Vita, and then Ultimate Street Fighter 4 on PlayStation 3.
It's a good week.
It's a great week.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Not one of those like junk weeks where you get a bunch of garbage you don't care about. This is a good week.
You know, it's always a good week here.
Remember, only play for an hour a day.
Yeah, it'll strengthen your brain or something.
Or something.
You moved objects with your head. Who the hell knows?
Says some college we forgot the name of.
Brian.
Hey, what's up?
As I said, you're one of the most requested Podcast Beyond ever rotating third chair members.
Thank you. That's very nice of them.
Exactly.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I do what I can here.
Another one coming up the ranks, burning up the ranks.
Yeah.
Is the Reverend Jared Petty.
Yeah. He's
everyone likes
he's
him.
He's got that great voice.
He's got that NPR kind of voice. Do you like Reverend Jared Petty? You're a fan of him and his ghost stories and his craziness?
Yeah, that was a great story.
Jared Petty has a plea for the Beyond listeners.
Okay.
And I'm going to insert it here. Now, here's the thing. If you're watching the video, or if you're listening to the podcast, if you're watching the video, you're locked in. It's too late for you. If you're listening to MP3, I'm going to put a picture of Jared Petty and slowly zoom in on his face. So you probably want to watch this.
Oh, I thought you said in the MP3 you're going to zoom in on a picture of his face.
No, I'm telling you, if you're listening to MP3 and you're...
That's crazy.
Everyone has a shared experience of cars are flipping off the roads. All right, Jared Petty, tell them what they need.
Greetings, fellow PlayStation fans. Beyond listeners like you are the most passionate members in the IGN community. And that's why I'm asking you for help. IGN Wikis is looking for contributors who both know games and love games. Big games, small games, PlayStation, Vita, any platform. If there's a game coming out soon that you're passionate about, or an old game that you think didn't get the attention it deserved, head to IGN.com/wikis and start clicking on the edit button. When you made your contributions, shoot me a message at jpetty@IGN.com. Let me know about them, and be sure to include some links. I got my start at IGN writing for community and wikis, and other IGN staff like Chris Abbott, Marty Slivin, Colin Moriarty all began their careers here as guide writers. If your work is top-notch, you'll get noticed. So dive in and make your voice heard. And thanks for the huge support you get Beyond and IGN in general. Y'all really are the best fan community in the world.
Now say Beyond.
Beyond!
Thanks, Jared. Everybody go sign up for IGN Wikis.
I totally agree with everything
he's asking for help for the wikis.
Yeah, that's
people
why
should go. That's what you agree with?
Yeah, except for that one part at the end was a little strange.
The racial slurs?
Yeah.
Paul Black writes into Beyond@IGN.com and says, Beyond!
Beyond. That was a bad segue. Racial slurs to Paul Black.
Oh, funny.
Keep it moving.
Keep it locked.
Beyond.
Beyond. Yeah. What's up, Greg, Colin, and crosses fingers, Brian Altano?
Yeah.
Misspelled your name, but he's a fan.
Close enough.
All right, good. I'll make this quick as I'm sure you've had an onslaught of the same question in the last 24 hours. But just in case, hell has frozen over and no one asked. With the recent incredible news of the announcement to bring BioShock to iOS, would it be possible that this version of the game could be ported to the PlayStation Vita in the future? I agree that the Vita already has a vast library of outstanding titles, but getting to visit Rapture on my handheld would admittedly be a dream come true. Keep up the good work, Beyond Paul Black. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think so either.
Mitchell,
yeah.
Are you briefed on this news?
Yes, I am.
Tell everybody the news then.
So just the iOS thing.
Yeah.
That they are like remaking the original BioShock for the iPad.
Right.
They have all the touch controls in there. Downgrade the visuals a little bit,
sure.
So you get the full BioShock experience on the iPad.
Right. Done. That was the news. He did a good job, everybody.
Yeah, that was great.
I would love for it to come to Vita. This is first thing, everybody jumped to the conclusions they started throwing out. Gabriel wrote in. He said, is this a sign of Western developers abandoning the Vita or simply Sony dropped the ball as this is another system seller like Borderlands 2? That's a packed up question, Gabriel,
yeah,
but we'll unpack it for you.
This is the sign of Western developers embracing mobile more than we ever thought they would. We saw signs of this a few years ago, and mm-hmm. people sort of said, we'll never get real experiences on mobile. This is for games like, Angry Birds and Cut the Rope and, Flick the Square or whatever.
Flick the Square! Come in
bury the dirt!
From the makers of Knob Switch comes Flick the Square
Ninja
and bury
Cube.
The dirt!
Squawkle, the game where you make a square talk.
You and I were talking about this yesterday,
because
we talk a lot, we're best friends. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that it's not as easy as we'd like it to be, probably, right? To make the iOS game come over to Vita.
Yeah.
Like, how long would it take? I don't know. We're BSing because we're not developers.
A month? We don't know.
2 months? I don't know. But even that, you're losing money and you figure you have to assign buttons now to these touch controls, do all these different things, make it run a different rate, put trophies in, da-da-da-da-da-da. It's just too much of a hassle for the people doing this. And the reason I pretty much know this won't happen, and I say that hoping to be proven wrong in the next 6 months, is the fact that XCOM came to the mobile devices too, came to iPad as well.
Right.
And it was like, yes, I would love to get XCOM.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm blanking on what is the sub-name of that one?
Enemy Unknown?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the sequel or the follow-up, or was it Enemy Unknown? What was the other one then? Because there was XCOM... Enemy Unknown, and then there was either another one or one before it.
Cut the Square.
XCOM, Cut the Square. whatever.
Bury the Dirt.
The original new XCOM came out on iPads. It has never come to Vita. Mm-hmm. And that would be an amazing game to have on the Vita because it's turn-based strategy and it was so much fun, yada, yada. But it never did, and it's just there's got to be this thing of, you know, where I always talk about the fact that the Vita is doing well enough. It's, you know, it's doing all right. Mm-hmm. And but the install base isn't there to make this worth 2K's time and their money because there is money to go into porting these projects over. Whereas on the iPhone or the App Store or whatever, you put it up and you get – everyone has this. Everyone can buy it.
Yeah, and that's the sort of like weird chicken and egg thing that happens with systems like this, right? Where it's like, well, it's not selling well enough to put something new on it. And you're like, well, if you put something new on it, it would sell more.
Right, right, right.
And that's this like kind of circle, but people kind of walk away from the whole thing. The reason we wanted XCOM because it's awesome.
Yeah,
it didn't happen, and we were like, oh. The reason this is a twist of the knife is because Ken Levine got on stage at an E3 a couple years ago and said, oh, really? Yeah, you guys.
We're really excited about this thing, too.
BioShock Vita. And then it never happened. Then they asked him in an interview recently, and he was like, oh, yeah, well, we wanted to do that, but we never
still
actually
locked up with
it.
The business guys. And it would have been like tactics. And it was like, ah, this sounds amazing.
Yeah.
This sounds like such an amazing game.
Oh, that was the other twist of the knife. He was like, but if we were to do it, here's how it would have gone.
Yeah.
And he gave this elevator pitch for this awesome original BioShock game that we'll never see. Or maybe we will. That's why this kind of hurts, because it's like, oh, you're making a BioShock for mobile devices, but not the one you kind of promised you were going to make a BioShock for.
Right.
Right.
It hurts. I don't know what to say other than like write letters, maybe start petitions.
Well, see, the thing about it, the thing about it is, you know, we're always talking you guys to be vocal in a good way and be positive and talk, you know, tweet at people, right? Like, but to Gabriel's thing he's talking about, is this, you know, simply Sony dropped the ball on another system seller? Like, Sony had to have been caught off guard about this as well. It's not like 2K is telling Sony what they're doing with their games and properties.
No.
And so hopefully, like, he calls out Borderlands. Of course, Borderlands happened in a roundabout way because of fan interaction, right?
Yep.
Like, Randy said at one interview, like, oh, that'd be really cool, but who knows if it'll ever happen. And then he came on up at noon, you know, serendipitously. We got him in touch with Shuhei, got him in touch with Adam. That all started happening, and that game happened. And it happened because people talked to the developer and the publishing arm, right? So if you want this to happen, you need to be tweeting at Adam Boys and 2K. You need to be saying, like, this is something we would want to see, and this is how we'd support it.
Yeah, 100%. Let them know. I don't think that – actually – people looked at this as bad news for Vita. I don't feel that way. I think this, you know, what like kind of what you're implying, I think this is a good step. Like, if they're already figuring out how to port the code of this game to mobile devices, then that's one step closer than they were before any of this. So how well that translates to Vita, who knows? Again, we're not game developers. We have no idea.
Yeah, we don't know.
But yeah, you know, let your local congressman know.
You figure if they can downgrade it, well, not downgrade it, that might not be the right word.
No, that's right. It's downgraded.
Okay. If they can move it over to an iPad, it should be at least a little easier to get.
Sure. No, and that's the thing. Yeah, you feel like you're a half step away, but the problem is that there's these finicky jerks like Brian and I are going to be like, I don't want to use the Vita touchpad. I need sticks and I need this. And that's when it's like, well, we didn't build this version theoretically to do that, to think like that.
And that's it's kind of a bummer for me because I love BioShock and I'd love to play it again, but when you tell me it's coming to iPad, I'm like, give me buttons and joysticks.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know, maybe I'm old school.
That should be your next album title. Give me buttons and joysticks.
Sorry, maybe I'm old school.
No, give me buttons and joysticks.
Okay.
Jose writes in from Mexico City and says, Beyond, guys.
Beyond.
Beyond.
I wanted to say thank you to everyone for all the content, laughs, and being trusted implicitly. Rapid fire. Mitchell, favorite phrase ever heard in a podcast, Beyond.
Ooh. Oh, man. I made a whole app about this.
I know you did. Yeah, you should know better than most.
Yeah. Oh. Got it. The Colin Moriarty, you said something. Oh shoot! It was like it was.
Good job,
the SS Moriarty. SS Moriarty is what it was. You were like, the SS Moriarty stands tall, ready to defend the PlayStation honor, and you were like, doot doot. Oh, it's a tugboat. It's a tugboat.
It was a tugboat. It was. Well, Colin can't have a battleship. Brian.
Yeah.
Have a game make you laugh to the tears, or what game you consider to be the funniest? Has a game ever made you laugh so hard you cried? And what is the game funniest game you ever played?
It's not a Sony game, but
that doesn't matter.
Mario Kart is one of the games that I I laugh like crazy screwing over my friends in games like that. It is so much fun to me. Same with Smash Brothers. Couch local multiplayer games are the ones where I can screw somebody over and just laugh in their face. I have so much fun playing.
As long as I'm laughing in their face, I'm having a good one. Yeah.
I mean, when we were playing, you and I played Super Mario 3D World together, and you were just the ultimate troll.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's because Jose would get so mad.
It was so funny watching, because some people take, when you play multiplayer games like that, some people get so serious.
Yeah.
And I love laughing at those people.
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to have fun with this stuff.
Yeah. It's the whole thing with Mario Kart, right? Yeah. Like, you can be, we're really good at Mario Kart.
Yeah.
But you're going to come in seventh once or twice because you're going to get screwed over, and then you could get really mad at it, and you're like, well, it's a game where a turtle's driving a car, so I'm sure. Greg, which game makes you curse the most? I saw you stream Rogue Legacy yesterday. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Because, like, you think about it, and then they're out the door. But I'm contemplating it after saying that Lair. Lair was the one where I was literally jumping at my desk, screaming at the TV, screaming.
Oh, like angry frustration.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I recently 1001 Spikes
was the game where I was like, are you playing Rogue Legacy?
No, not yet.
I have a lot of curses there where everything's going well and then something screws up. You're like, God damn it.
Yeah, I heard good things and then you started ranting about it and I'm like, yeah, I got
to get it. Yeah. And I meant to, sorry, on your question, just because I can do that because I'm talking, I wanted to give a shout out to South Park, Stick of Truth. That was still the funniest game I've ever played.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't played that, I mean, that's easily in my running. Probably one of my top three games this year.
Mitchell, it's time for Minecraft Watch. As you know, I'm pretty stoked about the Vita version of Minecraft.
Yeah.
So are a lot of Beyond listeners. Serge writes in and says, greetings, Greg, Colin, and the ever-rotating third chair. Beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond. For months now, we've been told the next-gen Minecraft will come out in August. It is now August. Still no sign of the game. Can you give me any insight, or will it just drop out of the sky on a random Tuesday this month? Thank you, Serge. Serge, I went and did some research for you. And I found a tweet from 4J Studios, who are the guys making the game. Mm-hmm. They say, quote, we're still fixing Minecraft Xbox One, Minecraft PS4, and Minecraft PS Vita bugs. We'll let you know when we hand it over to the cert testing teams. Okay. So, it's a ways out. Weeks out for sure.
Yeah.
But we're going to go down the hole because I pay a lot of attention to this. I go down the rabbit hole on the Minecraft stuff. So, here's what you need to be too scared about. It should be in cert by now. It's scary that it's not.
Yeah.
That makes me start thinking you're getting in late August at best now.
Yes, yes, yes.
On top of that, though, some people were emailing me yesterday and hitting me up on the Twitter that GameStop had posted a thing saying August 18th for Minecraft on all the versions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a placeholder date. I don't think they're going to hit that, especially if it's not in cert yet. If it's in cert, you're not publishing this game in time on discs.
Right.
You're not pressing discs.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning that Amazon does that a lot, too. Like, it's that is not concrete. Like, don't bet the farm on
it's just
things.
A weird thing that they waited this long to put up a date, and now there's a date for it.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then the next one is that there was a European PlayStation trailer for the Vita that went out. Mm-hmm. And they were like, hey, Vita's doing is going to be great, and yada, yada, yada. And there's all these great comings in September. And then one of the games they showed was Minecraft Vita. Okay. At first, I didn't want to get scared about it. I didn't want to call out to the crowd, let everybody know there's something wrong here. I was the canary in the coal mine. I wasn't passed out yet. But I was hoping it was just like they put everything together because most of these games will be out in September. But this is getting me scared that it's going to be more like September.
Mm. Yeah, and you know what's tough about that is that it starts you know, bumping heads with all of the fall games. Mm-hmm. Which,
well, I mean, Minecraft really doesn't have to worry.
No.
Minecraft's going to plow ahead, but for us in our time.
For us, for in our time. Yeah, that's what I mean. Minecraft will be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll be okay.
You'd imagine that they would give you a little bit of a heads up with something like Minecraft, right?
Yeah.
They wouldn't just kind of shadow release it. Like,
I mean, it's one of those things that, to them, like, does it really matter? Once people hear it's out, like, I mean, what? It's the console versions have now officially outsold the PC version.
Right.
And so, like, that sells like crazy no matter how late it's out. You know what I mean? Like, PlayStation 3 was incredibly late, and Xbox was late, and then.
You also have to understand that Notch and the good old boys working on Minecraft don't have, like, this long history of playing fair with console gamers and stuff like that, hitting release dates and stuff. They can do pretty much whatever they want over there, for better or worse, you know? So they can say, hey, it's out tomorrow. Or they can say, hey, it's out next year. I mean, hopefully we get somewhere in between those two dates, but we'll see.
I think we'll know soon. Everybody follow at 4J Studios on Twitter, or follow me, and I'll keep retweeting.
Tell them we sent you.
Yeah. We have another Minecraft question from Scott. Of course, Brian, you and I do a weekly Let's Play of Minecraft on PS3.
We're in a very heated story arc right now.
Right. It's a three-part series. Part three comes out tomorrow. Yep. Every Wednesday, 11 a.m., we post them on IGN.com and YouTube.com/MinecraftIGN. We went into somebody's game.
Yeah.
This is what Scott's writing in about.
Yeah.
Scott says, the most meaningful question to me, would you visit my Minecraft world? I've had a lot of downtime being injured, and when I watched your Let's Play Minecraft, it reminded me of a great way to occupy myself. Thanks for that. It has an elaborate mansion in the sky, as well as a highway of water up there. There are water elevators to take you up into the sky and take you down into the sea to dig sites. There is also no big Yeti being held hostage in my world.
Dude, we are coming
we
over.
We have to go yeah, see that.
This is like when one of your friends is like, yo, you got to come to my vacation house this summer. We got a mansion and a pool, and there's a water slide, and there's a Jamba Juice.
Man, that's a nice mansion.
Weird list.
Yeah. Scott, we will totally come see
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I will hit you up via email to see how we can schedule that, because we have to be on the line at the same time and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with Greg and Brian Play Minecraft, it's a weekly show we do that's sort of – a lot of people have said it's sort of like our new podcast, because it's basically – just you and me hanging out talking while Minecraft is happening. Mm-hmm. And we're not experts. We're not playing it well. A lot of people write in angry. They're like, oh, you hit the block.
No,
with
they
the
don't.
Wrong
they
thing.
Don't write in angry anymore. In the originals.
They're used to it now. Yeah. Go check that out. If you're done with Podcast Beyond and you want something else that we do, like, you know, on top of all the other shows.
I was going to say, I like we don't do enough podcasts, right? Time for my new favorite segment. What is it, Mitchell?
It is the horrible PSN names, right?
Yeah, horrible PSN name of the week. Worst PlayStation Network name of the week. This one comes from Ross. He says Beyond.
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 Longtime listener, first time writer. My PSN name has been Epic Dash, and then it's a capital P3N1S. So Epic Dash Penis.
Oh.
My PSN name has been Epic Penis for as long as I have owned a PlayStation. I also have an embarrassing story that goes along with this name. In 2009, I started dating my current wife. He should probably rethink how he introduces his wife, by the way.
His current wife.
In 2009, I started dating my current wife.
My former wife.
She and I are both PlayStation gamers, but while my console was housed in my room, hers was in the living room of her parents' home. We were only 18 at the time and still living with our parents. I'd love to just talk to him about his stories in general.
I know.
They're 18, living with their parents, right, they're dating, their current
super
wife.
Super knocking boots.
One night, I turned on my console to play something, and my cell phone started ringing with my girlfriend's number on the caller ID. 35 minutes later, I got off the phone with her father, who was using the console to watch a movie with his parents, who were visiting from Montana, about 2,000 miles away. He was absolutely mortified when, during the movie WALL-E, a flash in the corner stated, "Epic Penis is online." My wife still laughs about it to this day, and while her father got over it and now finds it as amusing as I do, her grandparents still look at me with a little disgust. Thanks for everything you do in your time, Ross.
Okay, best part of this story. He talked about this with this guy for 35 minutes.
What? I know. Can you imagine that phone call of the one-day father-in-law? The current father-in-law?
No, I haven't seen it. I don't know why they call it that epic piece. No, it's not part of WALL-E. I know that movie's about weird stuff happening in the future, but that's not... Yes, it does belong on the garbage planet, and WALL-E should have cleaned it up with the rest of the trash, but... No, it's not my penis. It's just, no, I don't know anymore. Get off the phone with me, Dad.
That's awesome. I like that she must only have the one PlayStation Network friend. And they
I know.
Just know. She said that at some point, and they're into the middle of this hour-long movie and just pops up. Awesome.
Well, he should have just been like, oh, it's a random string of characters. What do you know, Grandpa's video games? Get off the phone.
It's ones and zeros, bro.
Oxford University said this is cool. Chill out.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode of Podcast Beyond. Thank you so much for joining us.
We did it.
Yeah, we did it. You thought we'd die in here.
Yeah,
but
we usually lose about one or two cast members by the end of each
no,
show.
No, I do have to pee really badly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, do you?
No.
All right, we don't have to go together. We're all going to go to lunch, though.
Yeah.
That's fun. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for Podcast Beyond, episode 354. Remember, we're an epic PlayStation family, and it's all because of you. Thank you so much for the million downloads in July. Continue to tell your friends and spread the words about us. Give us the iTunes reviews, all that stuff. We only get to do this because we're so big. So don't stop making us big. Otherwise, it'll all go to hell real quick.
Oh, man.
Every Tuesday, the show posts as an MP3 on IGN.com and your favorite podcast server of choice. Then every Wednesday, the video goes up on IGN.com, YouTube.com/IGN, and that free IGN PlayStation 4 app that you should also download. Remember, I need your help getting that stupid painting thing.
Yeah.
We're trying to win a PlayStation 4 for someone in here. Go to bit.ly, bit.ly/beyondpainting, all lowercase, to vote for me. I believe you can vote as many times as you want if you refresh your browser or something. So if you really want to get nuts about it, enjoy that. But you don't have to. Let's just try to win it for somebody.
Yeah.
Keep up with us on Twitter. I thought you were going somewhere.
No, I was
going
to say, even if you don't enter the contest by emailing Greg, still vote, still click.
Oh, sure, yeah. We're winning it for someone else in the Beyond
community. Yeah, we're winning it for someone else. Even if you have a PS4 already, it'd be awesome to see Greg on that painting. So
yeah, well, that's happening. Yeah, don't worry about that. keep up with us on Twitter.
Yep.
I'm Game Over Greggy. IGN is IGN. Brian is Agent Bizzle.
Yep.
M Dog, and I was free. What?
2438.
Everybody go, because like again, a sophomore in high school with a billion Twitter followers, he's gonna be doing well. Thanks for coming, Mitchell.
Thank you.
Did you have fun?
Yeah, this was awesome.
As always, thank you for all your support and everything you do for us.
You're welcome.
We couldn't do it without you.
Are you gonna listen to this episode?
We'll see. We'll see how I'm doing.
That's a nice way of saying no.
Yeah.
No, I am not gonna listen to this.
That's the podcasting. You know you're good at podcasting when you just like, nah, I did it once.
It's all I lived it.
Yeah, I was there.
Did you listen to yours for a long time?
Here and there. I've listened to my shows before.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to see what horrible things I said.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's when the alcohol's involved.
Yeah.
Then I really want to know what I said.
Sometimes the episodes will pop up in the corner of my dad's television while he's watching WALL-E, and it's like a whole conversation.
Real quick, before we go into the final song, I want to thank my dad, who brought me to
San Francisco.
Thank
you so much for coming.
Who supports me with all this weird stuff that I do. I decided to, spend my youth keeping track of your bets.
Yeah.
And he's supportive of that and supportive of the soundboard.
Your dad's awesome. He came on. He was. He's not mic'd, so he can't. He can lean in if he wants, of course. But if he doesn't, it's fine. He was on Podcast Beyond 300. We talked to him a little bit
there.
Yes,
he was.
Yeah. You guys are one of my favorites. I love how you guys work together, and I love that you guys support each other. So that's amazing.
Yeah, thank you guys.
And
so
thanks
much
for letting us borrow your son. And thanks for not getting mad when we tell him to quit school. We don't mean it.
I know.
Okay.
He's not quitting school. He's my investment.
Yeah. When all these apps take off, you'll take care of him.
And this is actually we're starting our new initiative to get every Podcast Beyond fan. On
nope, no, we are
so
not.
There's only a million of
you.
Have
to, if you do dedicated work for us for 4 years, then you get to be on here.
Yeah, sorry, everybody else, but I mean, step up your game. This dude's killing you right now.
Every Podcast Beyond ends in a segment we call Ryan's Wrap Up, where we play a song submitted by the community for the community. Here's something there's a new way, apparently, that I never thought about to make sure your song gets played on Podcast Beyond. Give it to me in person.
Oh, wow.
This guy, Jay, came to Up at Noon, and at the end, he shook my hand and gave me it on a thumb drive with his business card.
Oh,
so that's
really
an easy win there. So here, this is Jay talking, ladies and gentlemen. He says, this is a remix of Portishead's Glory Box from the early 90s.
That's a great song.
I've kept the original key of the song, but reworked everything else. Enjoy Beyond. The song is called Glory Box, and then parentheses, remix. You can get it at echoaudio.com, but it's ekhoaudio.com. ekhoaudio.com.
Awesome.
Thanks for all the laughs. You guys are awesome. Beyond, Jay, it's our pleasure to play Glory Box, the remix.
Yep.
I always feel like at this point is when I just get off the rails.
Yeah.
I've kept it going for a solid hour of the show, and now I'm
just
falling apart.
You just start putting all these random L's in every words. Hi, I'm Blake Milalalo. See you next week, Beyond.
Ladies and gentlemen, here comes Glory Box, the remix, Beyond.
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 Ah!
lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Simple what you see and what you get. Well, almost.
I was going to say, you're fucking killing it.
Yeah, there went that. There went that. So, sorry about that.
No problem. I can do an edit for you if you want to just pick it up.
You really don't mind? I don't want to make it complicated. Okay. Okay,
I will
cool.
put all of this at the end of the show, though. This entire uncut section.
That's right. Okay, that works for me. Easter egg.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
Save yourself. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.